Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, which can be found on page 1817 on the Black Church Bibles. From verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for reading, Heidi. Good morning, everyone. My name is Carl. I'm the senior pastor here. It's warm in this room this morning as it was last week. There are some cold water bottles out on the hall table out there. If you'd like to get up and grab a drink of cold water, feel free to do that at any point if that will help you to feel better. I thought I'd tell you a story to help you cool down in a sense. And I'll tell you about a family holiday that I went on a few years ago now. We went to the South Island of New Zealand. And at the end of our holiday, we had just a few hours to kill before we needed to get back on the aeroplane. So we stopped off at a small country town. And before we got out of the car, the little dash display was telling us that it was minus 4 degrees outside. Can you imagine that on a day like today? It was minus 4 degrees outside. And we'd already packed our jackets away into our suitcases and they were jam-packed and there was no way we were going to be getting them back out again. But we've had that little bit of time, so we thought we would brave it and walk down the main street of this town. It was so cold, and doing it without a jacket, it felt like we were on adventure just walking down that street. And we got nearly to the end of the town, and we were about to turn around and run back up to the car when we saw a specialty chocolate shop in the distance. And it was selling hot chocolate. And on a day like today, nobody really feels like hot chocolate, right? But back then in that shop, it was different. They had this big black cauldron and they scooped out the hot chocolate and poured it into little paper cups. Now here's the thing. You might think you know all about hot chocolate today, but until you've had hot chocolate like that, there is more that you can know about hot chocolate. See, hot chocolate like that, it doesn't sound so good on a day like today, but back then it kind of sank deep in and warmed you from the middle out. Today we're looking at a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He's writing, I want you to see, to Christians, to those who already know Jesus. And yet in this passage, Paul prays a prayer that these Ephesian Christians would comprehend Jesus more fully and more deeply. How can he pray that? They already know Jesus, but he's asking they would understand more. Well, think about that hot chocolate. We can know it here today, but you can know more about it. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul records for us this prayer. And it's a prayer he prays to God the Father, that God the Father might strengthen the Ephesian church with power that comes through his Spirit, so that they might comprehend Jesus in an extraordinary way. And he's praying, I want you to see, with the intention that this church would be established in love. And I take it that is that they would love each other and also that they would know and grasp the love of Christ, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. See, Paul's purpose in praying this prayer is that the Ephesians would be established in love. Now, I hope by now, if you've been here over the last couple of weeks, you're starting to get our purpose statement as a church somewhere in the back of your minds. I've got it on the screen behind me. Let you just read it again. Over the first 4 weeks of this year as a church, we've been thinking about this idea, what are we on about as church? What is our purpose? And we have this single sentence to try and capture that idea. And here's what it says. Our purpose under God is to make disciples who remain in Jesus, established in love, for the glory of God. In our first week in this series, we spent some time considering what our role as a church is in making disciples. You might remember we looked at the Great Commission from Matthew 28. And last week we talked about how disciples of Jesus, how they stick with Jesus, how they remain with Jesus. That is, disciples of Jesus keep listening to Jesus' words, keep obeying them. And this week we're looking at the next part of our purpose statement, that idea about being established in love. And if you haven't already done so, I'd encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, because this is where that idea of being established in love comes from. It's on page 1817 of your Black Bibles, and today we're particularly looking at verses 14 through to 19 of that chapter, Ephesians chapter 3. I only just read it, but let me read to you again the first few verses of this section. It says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." A little bit of background. Did you see here that Paul starts this section by referring to things that he's already said in this letter? He starts by saying, "For this reason." Now, we don't have time to go back this morning and read all that Paul's already said in the rest of this letter, so let me just summarize really briefly. Paul has been speaking about his special role as the apostle to the Gentiles. He's been reminding these Gentile Ephesians that he was especially chosen by God to make Jesus known, to make Jesus known to the Gentile world. But he's already also made it clear that only God can write and imprint Christ onto people's hearts. So now Paul turns to God in prayer, asking that he would keep doing that work. And did you see here, this is one of those earnest prayers. It's one of those really deep prayers. We know that because Paul gets down on his knees to pray. This is a heartfelt, serious prayer. And he's praying that the church in Ephesus would be strengthened. And notice the Trinitarian nature of this prayer as well. Paul prays to God the Father, and he does that through the Spirit in order that Christ might be known in the believers' hearts. See, this prayer here gives us a bit of an insight into the personhood and the role of the Trinity. And what is Paul asking when he prays? He's asking God the Father to strengthen the Ephesian church, to do that with power through his Spirit, so that Christ might be deep in them, deep in their inner being. And remember, Paul here is writing to Christians, to those who already know Jesus. And there can be no doubt about this as we look through Ephesians. The Ephesian church has already heard the gospel. They've already responded. Just in case you wonder about that, turn back to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, have a look at verses 12 and 13. I want you to see, these are people who know Jesus already. Verse 12 says this: "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now," speaking to the Ephesian church, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." I want you to see, Paul's writing to Christians, and that means they must already have some comprehension of Jesus, who Jesus is. They must already know something of the gospel. They must already know Jesus as their Lord and Messiah. And yet, can you see here, Paul's deep and earnest prayer is that God the Father might strengthen them through his Spirit so that Christ would dwell in their hearts, right in their inner being. What does it mean? Why can he pray that? It must mean that in some way it is possible to more fully or more deeply comprehend Jesus. And perhaps what's at work here is a movement of something like knowing something in your head to something going deep down into your heart. Or maybe it's a matter of degrees. How much do you know? John Stott, in his commentary on this passage, suggests that the indwelling of Christ and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit is, he calls it, a thing of degrees. Now, why does this matter? What's this all about? Well, I wonder if you've ever felt spiritually dry before. Some of you might say, well, that's kind of almost like my normal way of living, my default position. I want to be careful here because feelings can be deceptive, and I want us to be cautious with our feelings. We're not part of God's family just when we feel like it. The Bible's very clear of us. Those who call Jesus their Lord and Savior, the objective reality is that you have been adopted into His family. You're part of His family whether you feel like it or not, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior. That's the case with those Christians in the Ephesian church. And that's the case with us here today. Yet, Paul still prays for the Ephesian church that they might know Jesus deeper in their inner being. It's a great prayer, isn't it? If you're feeling spiritually dry this morning, I hope this is a prayer that you can pray for yourself. And even if you're not feeling that way, I hope it's a great prayer that you can pray for others. Can you see how this prayer is a little bit like that cup of hot chocolate? How this is a kind of a thing of degrees. So you may already like hot chocolate, but if you're freezing and you're hungry and you find a boutique chocolate shop that is selling that thick, rich chocolate that no one feels like today, then you'll know even more how deeply hot chocolate can be good. This is a thing of degrees. But let me ask you, is this how you pray? Do you pray in this sort of way? When you pray to God, do you pray to God the Father through the Spirit, asking that you might have power to know Christ more deeply? Is that one of the prayers that you pray? My guess is that most of the time our prayers are more concerned with the day-to-day things, our circumstances in life. Maybe you routinely pray for the trivial things like, God, please let there be a parking space outside the shop you want to go to, that sort of thing. Or maybe you pray for the really profound and the really important things. Father God, please let these test results show that it's not cancer. And don't misunderstand me here. We should be praying for the circumstances in our life. God commands us actually to do that. We are to pray for our circumstances. We are to bring our cares and our concerns and our anxieties before God the Father in heaven, knowing that He listens. But are you ever praying a prayer like this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians? For power, so that Christ might not just be up here in your head, but deep down in your hearts and in your inner being. And let me encourage you, if you're feeling spiritually dry, and let's face it, that happens to all of us at different times in our life. In fact, I would say that's probably even the normal Christian experience, that we would feel that way. Let me encourage you to keep praying this sort of a prayer. Praying that there would be extraordinary power from God that would enable you to know Jesus deeper and better and more fully. So that's what Paul's praying. He wants the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus to have that, and I think he wants the church here in Adelaide 2,000 years later to have it as well. He prays that we would know Jesus deeper. But that's not all that Paul prays in this passage. He also prays for love. We're up to the second point in your outline if you're following along on the Sunday Hub or in your paper leaflets. Let me read to you now from the second half of verse 17. This is what he says. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul has been outlining how God has been making a new and a reconciled humanity. What then is the ultimate purpose of the prayer that he's praying right now? What is he trying to do? Well, I think he wants the church in Ephesus to be strengthened to love. Strengthened to love. Now, why would he want that? Well, because I want to suggest that love is the thing that marks us out in the world as disciples of Jesus. Our love should make us different to those who are not disciples of Jesus. Our love is kind of that distinguishing virtue that makes Christians different to the world around us. And Paul has been explaining that God is at work creating a new family. That's kind of what he's describing in the earlier part of the book. And that makes each of us brothers and sisters. And so we are to love each other like we're a biological family. That's what it means to be a disciple. And at least that's the theory, right? That's the idea. And yet you don't have to have been at church for very long to know that that's still hard. The ordinary experience for us today is that loving each other is hard work. It's hard work even here at Trinity Church only. And as I look out at you, you are a lovable bunch. So if it's hard work here, right, it's hard work everywhere. Let me ask you, how are you going at doing this? Personally, how are you going? I don't want you to tell anybody about it around you, but how do you go loving those around you? Does love distinguish you as a disciple of Jesus? Is that part of what you're like? You know, I sat back and asked myself that question this week. Does my love make me different to those around me? And my inclination is to keep thinking, I could do better in this space. And I start thinking about how I could do better. Maybe I should ask that person to go out for dinner. Maybe I should invite that family round for a meal. Maybe I should drop in and see that person who's unwell. Or send a text to a friend. And they're all good things to do. But my default position is to start thinking about the things that I should do. I start thinking about how I can work harder to be a more loving person. But that's not what Paul does here, is it? You see what he does? He prays. He prays that the church will be rooted and established in love. And he's using here a metaphor from the gardening world. It's a simple metaphor to understand, but I think the idea is that trees have strong roots that help them to stand upright. Even in a fierce storm, a tree won't fall over because the strong roots hold it into the ground. And Paul is praying, I think, that our love for each other would be like the strong roots of a tree, that our love would enable us to withstand the storms that rage around us in life. Practically, I think this means that we'll have a love for each other that will enable us to work through things. Love like that means that we'll be able to work through disagreements that we might have with each other. It means that we'll bear with each other even when it would be easier just to throw in the towel and walk away. I don't mean here that we'd sweep injustice or evil under the carpet. That's not what love looks like. But what I do mean is that our love for each other would enable us to work for each other's good. And that we'd do it even if it's costly. Remember, Paul's writing to a church in Ephesus. This would have been a church that was a melting pot of different cultures and practices and backgrounds. Getting on with each other would not have been easy. And yet we're pretty similar here. And so we need this prayer too. We need to pray that we would be rooted and established in love. Such a great prayer. It's such a great prayer because this is such an important thing for us as disciples of Jesus. And we saw this last week, didn't we? We looked at Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room from John last week. You know, this was the message that he gave to his disciples just before he went to the cross. These were the things he really wanted them to know. Last week we saw in John 13, Jesus say to them, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Pretty clear, isn't it? In John 13, how does Jesus love his disciples? You remember? He washed their feet. He served them, didn't he? The King of Kings, he took off his outer garments, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he served his disciples. He loved them by washing their stinky feet. And if that demonstration wasn't enough for them, it was really just a pre-configuring. It was just getting them ready for what was to come, where he willingly gave up his life on the cross. See, that is costly love, isn't it? And Jesus says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now, even in this lovable bunch of people that we are, that might feel like an impossible task, right? To love as Jesus loved his disciples. And so no wonder Paul prays. He prays that the Ephesians would be rooted and established in love. We should be praying for that as well, shouldn't we? Because we need that prayer. But I want you to see it's not just the love that we have for each other that's on view in this passage. Paul also prays that the church would have power to grasp the love of Christ. Now, Paul's already used an analogy from agriculture to explain our love for each other, that kind of deep-rooted idea. But now he uses a kind of dimensional analogy to explain the magnitude of Christ's love. He speaks about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. When I read this verse, I don't know about you, it always reminds me of that book about going on a bear hunt. Anyone read that book before? Yeah, that's what it always reminds me of. But what does Paul mean when he talks about how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ? One commentator I read puts this, they say, the love of Christ is wide enough to encompass all of humanity. It's long enough to last into eternity. It's high enough to exalt him even into the heavens. And it's deep enough to reach even the most wretched of sinners. It's a good way to flesh out what Paul means by the wide, long, high, deep love of Christ. Now, Paul is praying here that the Ephesian church would have the power to grasp hold of the magnitude of Christ's love. And I take it that, again, this is one of those matter of degrees things. Because you can know this in part, but Paul is praying for an even fuller and more complete understanding of love like that. I wonder here on a hot day like today if the analogy of a pool is a helpful way for us to think through that kind of matter of degrees idea. See, here's what I want to suggest. You can know the goodness of an ice-cold pool on a day like today just by dipping your toes into the water, right? Just dip your toes in, and you'd be able to say, that pool is lovely, feels great, looks great, is terrific. But rather than just dipping your toes in, you could also jump right into the cool water and immerse yourselves fully in it. And then your comprehension and your knowledge of the pool and all the benefits of the pool would be, that'd be so much more, wouldn't it? See, it's a matter of degrees, a matter of how much. And Paul wants the Ephesians to jump right into Jesus. And so he prays that God the Father, through the Spirit, might give them power so that they can grasp hold of the love of Christ. That word grasp, it's such a helpful word, I think, because it helps us to see this is not just an easy thing. Grasping at something takes effort or work, doesn't it? Things that we grasp at might slip away. But here it's not our effort that will help us to grasp. Again, it is the work of the Spirit that will help us to grasp. This is the power of His Spirit working in us that helps us to do this. This is God's Spirit doing His thing of making Christ known. Did you notice that we do this together? You see that in the text? See that in verse 18? Paul's prayer is that we might have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp at this. And it seems there to suggest that the Spirit works powerfully, but He does that together with us. That we won't grasp the love of Christ fully on our own. We need each other for this task. Isn't it interesting that as we love each other, we would also help each other by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, to comprehend how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. So let me kind of recap what we've seen today. We've been working our way through a prayer that Paul prays to the church in Ephesus. It's not a prayer that speaks about their earthly circumstances, although I'm sure there could have been things they might like to have prayed for that as well. This is not a prayer where Paul is petitioning the Ephesians or petitioning God for their daily bread. Rather, this is a prayer where Paul is praying directly to their deepest needs, that they'd know Jesus not just in their heads, that it'll go deep down into their inner beings, into their hearts. He's praying that they'd be established in love, and that love would help them to care for each other better, but not just for each other. They'd also have a greater comprehension of the magnitude of Christ's love for them. So how then does this tie into our purpose statement? Well, remember that our purpose under God is to make disciples who remain in Jesus established in love for the glory of God. Part of our purpose as a church is that as disciples of Jesus, we too would be established in love, that we'd have a deep love for each other, and that together we would be helping each other to know more fully the love of Jesus. but together we would be encouraging each other to know how wide and long and deep that love is. How do we get established in that way? How do we do that? Well, it's not by working hard, is it? At least not in our own way. We do it by asking God to strengthen us through His Spirit with power, so that we might be established and rooted in that way. We meet as a church once a month. We have a meeting that we call Remain Prayer. It meets in this room. And nearly every time we meet as Remain Prayer, we pray a prayer just like this. A prayer that we would know God better through His power that comes from His Spirit at work in us. Let me ask you, what do you think it would look like if we as a church were doing these things well? What would it look like if we were loving each other better, if we knew God better? Well, firstly, I think it would look like we would look like a more prayerful church, wouldn't we? Because we won't get to that point in any other way other than asking God to do that work in and among us through His Spirit. It'll also look like we're a church that's helping others get to know Jesus. If we know the love of Jesus, we'll be so keen for others to know about Him. And we'll look like a church that's generous and caring and kind to each other. We'll look like a church that deals with conflict in a really gracious way, not sweeping it under the carpet, but loving each other through the conflict. We'll be serving each other. Maybe we won't be actually washing each other's feet, but we will be willing to do the hard and costly things for each other, won't we? What else would it look like? Well, I reckon if we know how high and how wide and how deep is the love of God, that understanding will spill out from us. We'll be telling everyone that we can talk to about what our God is like. I think that'd be a great thing for us to be working on as a church. And so what I thought we'd do this morning as we finish up is to pray a prayer very similar to the prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church, but I've just reworded it so that we pray for it ourselves. I've got the words on the screen behind me. I'd encourage you to pray this prayer with me. It's essentially rereading Ephesians chapter 3, but I've directed it instead to the Ephesian church, to our church. Will you join with me as we pray this? God, our Father in heaven, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, we come to you today asking that out of your glorious riches, you might strengthen your disciples with power through your Spirit, so that Christ might dwell in our inner beings, in our hearts through faith. It is our prayer that you would establish us in love. Through your Spirit, may we have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.